Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. It's also a special mix of politics, culture, and personal development stuff, too. Man, a lot of heavy stuff going on in the news, in the culture. It's heavy sometimes. I can feel it. And I sense you can feel it too. It's a challenge when stuff is real and then it feels like the rest of the world is playing a game. When stuff hits home, but yet it feels like other people are on a game show. All right. My Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. I didn't get to see it because I'm boycotting the NFL, but I'm still happy for my city. You know, my Sixers didn't go too far in the playoffs. The Flyers, no. Phillies, no. But the Eagles are the underdogs, or they were the underdogs, and now they're the champs, and that's a big deal. And when you win a championship in most major sports, you get to go to the White House. Who doesn't want to go to the people's house? I know, I dreamed of going to the White House. Like, that's cool, right? It's where our president is and a lot of history there. Who wouldn't want to go to the White House? Well, the Eagles actually wouldn't want to go to the White House. I don't know if you heard, but Donald Trump this week uninvited the Philadelphia Eagles to the White House over what Trump says is a disagreement on standing during the national anthem. We still talking about this anthem? Supposedly, a bunch of Eagles were going to go, then maybe not go. I think supposedly about 10 or so were going to be there. And then all of a sudden, the White House said, nah, canceled. If y'all don't come in numbers, we're not having it. Because we have egos and we believe in crowd size and we don't want to embarrass ourselves. I mean, that's what I took away from it. But here's what Sarah, mouthpiece to the White House, Huckabee Sanders, had to say about it.
I've addressed this a few times again. The Eagles were the ones that committed to an event on Friday. They submitted over 80 members of the Eagles franchise for the event, along with over 1,000 fans to participate. And it was the Eagles organization that tried to change their commitment at the 11th hour. If this wasn't a political stunt, then they wouldn't have planned to attend the event and then backed out. If it wasn't a political stunt, they wouldn't have attempted to reschedule an event for when they knew that the president would be out of the country. And they wouldn't have waited until the very last minute to make these changes if this wasn't about some type of political statement that they were trying to make towards this president.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders trying to do some splaining as to why Donald Trump uninvited some people who said they didn't want to come anymore. I don't know. If you're having a party and I say I'm not coming or don't want to come, then can you truly, really uninvite me? And actually, would you go to a party hosted by someone who said this about you?
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
I mean, I normally don't show up to many people's parties who've called me a SOB. But maybe that's just me. And of course, our Twitter in chief had something to say about it too.
I want to take this opportunity to explain why young Americans stand for our national anthem. Maybe it's about time that we understood. We stand to honor our military and to honor our country and to remember the fallen heroes who never made it back home. We stand to show our love for our fellow citizens and our magnificent Constitution. We stand to pay tribute to the incredible Americans who came before us and the heroic sacrifices they made. America is a great nation, a community, a family, and America is our home, and we love our home.
For the millionth time, this has nothing to do with the national anthem and disrespecting the flag of the country. With that, we're going to go to the phone lines and see what other fellow underdogs think about all this so far. Name it, where you calling from?
Hi, it's Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan. Hello, how
are you? How
you
doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Listen, have you heard about the third stanza to the national anthem?
Yes, is it the third or the second?
No, the third.
The third.
I think it's the third.
Okay.
And I think also that it was a celebration of slavery. And it was written by Francis Scott Key. So why Black people should stand up for that, I don't know why. They should not be forced to.
I
don't have all of the words in front of me,
mm-hmm.
but you can go online, you can go, you know, and just pull it up. I know that I pulled it up on the Root, but I know that it's on all over the place. So before it's all over, maybe they should take him to court.
Yeah, I just
I mean, if it was a Jewish group of people and somebody said, we want you to stand up, and they found out that there was a song written on behalf of killing all of their people, they wouldn't stand up.
No.
Why should they stand up?
And we might not even have it as a ritual or a song even for the country.
Exactly. But I'm saying this was hidden. Nobody, I mean, I'm not saying no one knew about it, but the average person, we didn't know about it. So now that it's come out and you want to keep on keeping on about it, then, you know, maybe the guys should get together, the players should get together, and, you know, if they have to take him to court, they should do it.
Hey, I hear you, and I appreciate you sharing with the audience to Google that stanza because it puts some more perspective on the fact that...
Yeah, you really should. And Francis Scott Key. Mm-hmm.
And so I think I know your answer, but I want to ask you just so you can say it yourself. Do you have any issue with the players choosing not to go to the White House?
No, I wouldn't go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a celebration and a party, and that is the host that you do not like. You don't agree with. Like, why are you going there?
He's using people anytime he's used Jack Johnson. He's used Muhammad Ali. You notice all of the people that he wants to pardon are dead, that are Black and male.
Or they get to have a photo op with Kim Kardashian, another reality star.
Well, that's something else. I don't even know why she's there, but it's not good. It's not good.
And we're going to talk about it.
It's not good at all. I remember once hearing her say that she had been interested in politics. I mean, the fact that you don't have to know anything, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw her sitting there one day and her husband is somewhere in the wind. I'm serious.
Hey, well,
I don't trust her, and I don't trust her at all.
We have a game.
I never have.
We have a game show host for our president right now, so I wouldn't be shocked if we had a reality TV star next.
Yeah.
Hey,
okay.
I appreciate you calling in, Deborah, and thanks for sharing that news, and I will Google it also.
Yeah, do that.
All right, now, appreciate you, Deborah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Deborah from Manhattan reminding us that and giving us context and some perspective on some of the history of the song and the national anthem. And so what I love about that is if you're going to make it about the anthem, which it was never about the anthem to begin with, it was about police brutality. It was about racial profiling. It was about stop and frisk. It was about the interaction of police, especially with brown and black people. And now if you want to make it about the anthem, which I don't, but if we do, then to Deborah's point, then let's talk about the anthem and the history of it, the context of it, the lyrics of it. And that maybe as we evolve and as we know better, we do better. And just like there's things we allow now that we didn't allow back then, well, maybe we should talk about the anthem. And maybe its time is up as a ritual that we celebrate, or at least maybe its time is up for us to celebrate in a way that we aren't fully aware of its history. Google that stanza. Google likely third stanza, I believe Deborah mentioned, or Google missing stanza and slavery national anthem, and I'm sure the info will pop up and give you a new perspective. With that, Deborah said that she agrees that the players shouldn't go to the White House. I agree with her. And also, I never thought I'd be doing this, but I think I'm about to shout out the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney. And he actually took a stand with the players in their decision too.
Athletes are American citizens who have the right, the First Amendment right to express their views. I stand and I stand when the anthem is played with my hand over my heart because I'm a privileged white male. There are other people in this country whose the issue of this country has affected them differently, and they have a right to express their discontent. They have a right to express their fact that they are protesting against certain things, and no one has a right to take that away. And Donald Trump has tried to control the NFL. He's tried to control the thoughts of this country, and it's not working.
No, it's not. And Jim Kenney, mayor of Philadelphia, my hometown of City Brother Love, he wasn't done.
What statement do you think the president is making by disinviting the dozen or so players that were going to go?
I'm going to take my ball and go home, basically, is what he's saying. Is unless you kneel to me, unless you pay homage to me as president of the United States, I'm going to disinvite you from the people's house. And that's not what the presidency is all about. The presidency is about every common person who looks up to that office and wants to be treated as an equal American. And he does not want to treat people equally. Only the people who support him are the people he considers real Americans.
Well, I normally am not always on the same side with Jim Kenney, but hey, when somebody makes a good point, they make a good point. And I'm glad that the majority of the Eagles players, they get to feel what they feel, think what they think, and then they have the choice to stay home. And I'm supportive of that. Don't go to parties hosted by people that are at odds with your values and your beliefs. Shout out to the Eagles. Speaking of celebrations and parties, and it's cookout season. And every now and then we get to play a quick game of who can now get an invite to the cookout. You know, to the cookout. Cookout, cookout. I think we know Donald Trump cannot get an invite to the cookout. But I'll be curious to think here whether or not you think Kim Kardashian can now get an invite to the cookout when I share with you this next news about what just happened with her prison reform, Donald Trump, and pardons. If you didn't hear last week on the show, we talked about the fact that Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump were meeting to discuss prison reform, and Kim Kardashian was there specifically to request a pardon for Alice Marie Johnson, a nonviolent who was in jail for, I believe, a little over 20 years for nonviolent drug offense back in the day when, well, I shouldn't even say back in the day when folks were getting locked up for drug-related crimes, especially nonviolent ones. I mean, it still happens today. But Kim was there to request a pardon for this one woman, Alice Marie Johnson. And strangely enough, this past week, Trump did it. And Alice Marie Johnson is pardoned. I think the technical term is she received clemency, but she is free to go and you know, doesn't have to serve any more of her sentence. And this is Kim Kardashian and her comments after that all unfolded, and unfolded rather quickly.
That he's really investigated this case and spoke to her warden, spoke to just everyone, and everyone had a unanimous, from the people that he reached out to, unanimous feeling of Alice that she will live a great life, and she will, that she has done her time, has been such a model person in prison. She's never had any like infractions on, you know, behavior, anything.
It's almost impossible in prison, by the way. So
yeah, I mean, she, yeah. And she became an ordained minister. She got so many degrees. She just, knowing that she's never going to get out, but she is still so amazing and is working on herself the whole time she's there. I think just he felt her heart, and he explained that to me. And I was just, I mean, when he said he has the papers in front of him and he's signing it, I just, like, my heart was so full.
Underdogs, is your heart full too? You buying what Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump are selling? Are they the, or is this the start of Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump being the saviors and champions of prison reform? Looking out for brown and black folks, looking out for the fact that according to the Sentencing Project, just to put some of this in perspective, just so you know, Alice Marie Johnson's situation isn't unique. There's a lot of folks who share her circumstances. 46% of folks in state prisons right now across our country are in there with a nonviolent crime. Of those sentenced to life without parole, over 3,200 of those prisoners, again, in jail for nonviolent crimes. And oh, why do I talk about this, especially for the brown and black folks who are underdogs? Well, if you are a black male, you get almost a 20% longer sentence for the same federal crime as a white male. Same crime. More time. So forgive me if I'm not ecstatic, if I'm not jumping up and down or pulling out the pom-poms to celebrate Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump for what they did for Alice Marie Johnson. Because two things can be true. You know how I roll. I'm not into either or. So I can be happy for Alice Marie Johnson and still disappointed and skeptical about Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump. Because one officer dangerous. Playing Celebrity Apprentice with people's lives is disgusting. This ain't a game show. We'll have our next celebrity contestant, Sylvester Stallone. Come on down. Who would you like for me to pardon? And that really happened. Kim Kardashian, come on down. You're the next contestant on Celebrity Apprentice Pardons. Who would you like to pardon? Like I said the other day, I was with an organization and with some of their members that works with those who are formerly incarcerated to get their life back on track. It's not a game show. There's people right now who were in jail and potentially arrested when they shouldn't have been. And when they were, got longer sentences than they should have. When they get out, they don't have the right to vote. They lose some of their parental rights. And it varies by states. their ability to get certain jobs. They become disconnected from society, even though they've served their time. And some folks are still in there right now. And the only way they can potentially get out is if you're a celebrity and you happen to know Donald Trump and he happens to want to meet with you and you happen to bring a case to him. One-offs are dangerous. You know, I was reading a little bit more about this topic, and there's a department within the administration, not just the Trump administration, all administrations, that actually looks into pardons and clemency, builds a list, makes cases for them, recommends them to the president. And so far, from what I've read, not a single pardon or clemency that Trump has given has even come as a recommendation from the people who are tasked, who we pay every day to do it. They haven't done it. So right now, Donald Trump's pardon strategy is, if you're a celebrity and you want to come to the White House and do a photo op with me and give me some good press, then maybe I'll pardon you or pardon your person. So the office that is in charge of this, not involved. Congress, not involved. So we got to wait on Kim Kardashian. Out of here. Not having it. Two things can be true. I'm happy for Alice Marie Johnson. And I'm disappointed in Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump. Because one of the things I know is that if you can build a framework, build a plan, and say that Alice Marie Johnson fits the profile of folks that we want to correct a wrong that we did in terms of arrest and sentencing and time in jail, then to me, why this is incomplete, what's missing, and why I'm disgusted by it is that if they would have then followed this up and said, we've now looked into the number of people who fit the profile of Alice Marie Johnson, and that's 1,000 or a couple thousand, whoever other folks. And you said to me, we're going to now work on getting them clemency and pardons. Well, then maybe now we're talking. Now you got my attention. Because now you're fighting for underdogs, not just fighting for photo ops and publicity. And then now maybe we can talk. But, however, you know what Trump did next related to prison reform and pardons and clemency? You know, do you know what he did next? This.
We have a great country. You should stand for our national anthem. You shouldn't go in a locker room when our national anthem is played. I am going to ask all of those people to recommend to me, because that's what they're protesting, people that they think were unfairly treated by the justice system. And I understand that. And I'm going to ask them to recommend to me people that were unfairly treated, friends of theirs or people that they know about. And I'm going to take a look at those applications. And if I find, and my committee finds, that they're unfairly treated, then we will pardon them or at least let them out.
Didn't I just say it'd be nice to have an actual plan for pardons, clemency, for criminal justice reform? And what do we get next? Celebrity Apprentice Pardon Edition continues. So now, if you're Sylvester Stallone, an actor in Hollywood, or if you're a reality star, you know, I don't even know what to call Kim Kardashian. Just if you're, I don't know, whatever she is. If you're someone like her, then you get to pick who gets pardoned. And now, if you're an NFL football player, you get to pick who's pardoned next. This ain't a game show! I've sat across from people who've been incarcerated and are trying to get their lives back together. And I'm not trying to wait on the next celebrity to meet with Donald Trump to get them out one by one and help them get their lives back together. This ain't a game show.
So this is how Trump's responding, and probably one of the most impressive power moves ever, asking them to recommend people for pardoning. So this is such a smart move by Trump for a multitude of reasons. It's first and foremost a win-win. And this is obviously the man who wrote The Art of the Deal, just the way he thought this out. Unbelievable PR, because this has been a winning issue for Trump for a long time now, and he is capitalizing on it.
This ain't The Art of the Deal either. I'm not trying to play chess or checkers with people's lives. It's hard enough as underdogs out here, and now we got to wait on celebrities to maybe make a difference. Well, the good news is there's organizations like CMC Workforce that aren't waiting on Kim Kardashian or Sylvester Stallone to make something happen. They're out here doing stuff every day, helping those who have at least been formerly incarcerated or homeless get back on track, resume writing, skill and trade building, get them employed in a job in 2 to 3 weeks so they can get their lives back on track. And shout out to all the other organizations like that, that are doing the work and not doing photo ops. And in case you haven't heard some of the details, Trump says he wants to meet with NFL players who kneel during the national anthem so that they can recommend people they think should be pardoned due to unfair treatment in the justice system. Trump said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to say to them, instead of talk, I'm going to ask all of those people to recommend to me, because that's what they're protesting. People that think they were unfairly treated by the justice system." Trump says he understands. And when people's lives are at stake, we don't turn to Congress. We don't turn to our city councilmen and women. We don't turn to the Supreme Court. We don't turn to the entire executive branch. Right now we're turning to Sylvester Stallone, Kim Kardashian, NFL football players, and Donald Trump. And on top of that, we're also off message. I don't recall that the point of the NFL protests were anthems or pardons. It was policing. It was things like making sure consent decrees stayed in place, that if police departments were historically being unequal in how they were policing their communities, that the federal government would step in, acknowledge that things have been going wrong, and provide support and tracking for them to get better and make sure they are getting better. This is about police brutality. This is about racial profiling. It's about stop and frisk. About who we're arresting and who we're not. It wasn't about pardons. And it definitely wasn't about pardons from celebrities. I wish that the rest of these politicians and the media would keep people on task. One of the things I've learned from going from underdog to contender to champ is about focus, staying on message, having a plan. One-offs by Kim Kardashian is not going to save us. And that's where we are. Pardons. We don't have a plan. We just have celebrities and Donald Trump.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.